From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
What is this like? It's like ladies' night on the Todd Starnes radio program. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Hour three of the big show. Broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, and everywhere in between. Grace Baker, turn your microphone on. Grace Baker, ladies and gentlemen, you hear her lovely voice when you call into the radio program, and then she grills you. What do you want to talk about? What's your name? What's your social security number? Ask them their socials?
Not their social, but I might kind of, you know, figure out if they like sweet tea or unsweet tea, because that's a judge of character
Yes, it is.
I can't trust people who like unsweet tea.
You made an interesting observation. Aside from Connor the Millennial from Boston, all of the callers today have been of the female persuasion.
Yes, and they're all very sweet ladies, which helps make my job much easier.
Well, I'm glad to hear this, because every now and again, you get some hate callers.
Yes, some prank callers, some hate callers, people who call you names I can't say on air. But
I've heard those.
You can imagine.
I've heard those names. I've been to the Wednesday night church business meeting.
Yep.
I've heard that language before. All that to say, there is a theme. It is a thematic edition of the Todd Starnes radio program. So Carlotta and Faye, hang tight. We're going to get to your calls. But I say, talking about the ladies, there is a terrific new movie out, and you've been hearing the ads running during our commercial breaks where we engage in capitalism. It's about a new film, a documentary called The Trump I Know. The Trump I Know. We have a link to the movie in the live show blog. And one of the filmmakers is on the Liberty University newsmaker line, Joe Knopp. Joe, how's it going today?
Doing well, Todd. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing well. Thank you very much. And congratulations on this incredible new political film. This one, I can honestly say, Joe, it's very, very unique.
Well, that's for sure. And part of that is because we don't get to see the truth about President Trump and his family. So it's unfortunate that it's unique. It should be more commonplace.
Well, you know, this is true. You know, when I watched this, and I haven't watched the whole thing yet, but I've got a copy of it. I started watching it, and it reminded me of, if you remember, right after Romney lost the presidential election, they released this really incredibly moving documentary about Mitt Romney's life. That had it run before the election, I think the guy probably could have, you know, picked up a few more votes, because it really, you got to see who Mitt Romney really was, you know, away from the glare of the cameras. And you're able to do that with Donald Trump in this documentary.
Yeah, and it wasn't easy, but obviously that was our goal. You know, we tried to get started back in the February time period. COVID, like most people in this country, affected us and shut us down. But fortunately, we were able to arrive at Laura and Eric's house, I think it was middle of June, and just rush to the finish line to get it done in time.
Now, Joe, you were responsible. You were behind the great film Unplanned, which Laura, that's how you met Laura Trump. So tell our listeners about the relationship that you have with Laura Trump, who's a regular on this program.
Laura's great. So when I was doing some of the marketing with our movie Unplanned, a mutual friend introduced Laura and I, so I met with her up in her office up in Trump Tower in New York City. And not everyone knows, but Laura used to be a producer for Inside Edition for about 4 years. So we kind of had that common ground, and really just, you know, connected on a friendship level. You know, stayed in touch. Didn't get to do many dinners or anything, but definitely started a relationship. But then earlier this year, as I was just thinking about, you know, the election coming up and, you know, ideas for content, I just really appreciate Laura's story. You know, she didn't grow up in the Trump family. She had a very humble beginning from North Carolina. And I just loved hearing her story and how well she has done to help the Trump family business, but then also the election back 4 years ago. So I just felt like it'd be great to share her story, but then also a lot of the other women that she just has great things to say. And she allowed us to kind of follow her around this summer and meet some amazing people and be able to share their stories.
I think this is terrific. And the names are very familiar to our audience. Laura Trump, Kellyanne Conway, Mercedes Schlapp, Katrina Pearson. You have Paula White and even Kaylee McEnany. What was your takeaway? Was there something that you learned about the president that you did not know before you did the film?
I think the theme that kept coming across all of our time with these women was President Trump's ability to just identify unique traits within people in general, obviously within women also. And I think Kaylee is a great example where, now, I don't know how many people would have given her that job today. I think a lot of people would have said, keep building your resume, and that eventually you'll be qualified to be the White House press secretary. But President Trump just identified with his innate ability to see people for their skill sets and gave her that position and just really became her biggest fan. And I think what we see in Kaylee is, she is so loyal and appreciative for that opportunity. She is doing everything she can to honor that position and to honor the president for giving her that role. And that is really the theme that we saw amongst all of these women, that the president has just identified roles that they can handle probably before most of the world would even see it.
Mm. Joe Knopp on the Liberty University Newsmaker line, his new documentary out, The Trump I Know. And, Joe, a couple of weeks ago, we had Sarah Sanders on. She was press secretary for the president, and she tells this amazing story in the book of how she was coming under some pretty ugly attacks, and the president pulls her aside and really just has this poignant, special, almost like a father-daughter conversation with her, and then tells her, now get back to work. You know, it's really just you get to see glimpses of who this man really is.
And, you know, I had an opportunity to interview President Trump, you know, and this to be seen in the documentary. And it was probably a typical crazy busy day. Probably, according to some people around him, did not have time to do our interview. But he came in the room, was very gracious. Laura was joining us. She was running a minute or two behind. So the president sat down. He tied his shoe and just patiently waited for us to get started. Here, probably the most powerful man in the world just took time to allow us to interview him. And so I would say the same. He just has an ability to really just sit down with the norm. I'm just a normal American person trying to tell some stories. And he treated me like we were longtime friends. And I'm not sure how many people in that role would do that.
Well, I think it's a terrific film, and it's truly poignant, and I think it's coming out at just the right time when people need to understand who this president is. Don't buy into the mainstream media narrative that he's some sort of a bad man who hates women. Again, Joe, as you have clearly illustrated, he has a deep and abiding devotion and affection to the people that work around him.
He does. And, you know, we interview some people who have known him for 20 years, some people who have worked for him long before he ran for the presidency. And they all say the same thing. They are all really appreciative for the opportunity he has given them and the support he gives them along the way. So this is nothing new for him. This is why he was able to create a multi-billion dollar international company, because he has people who believe in him, what he's doing, and just fully supported him.
Terrific. All right, Joe, we're going to have to leave it there. Congratulations. It's a terrific documentary. Look forward to finishing it tonight. Well done, sir.
Thanks, Todd. Really appreciate you.
All right, folks, you can go right now to the live show blog, and we have direct links to the movie. You got to watch this one. And I love documentaries, and this one is incredibly well done. And you're going to get to see a side of the president that the mainstream media just refuse to cover. They don't want you to know anything about this side of the president. All right, before we skedaddle, let's get to the phones. Our good friend, she is the queen of Rhode Island, the lovely Carlotta. What's going on today, Miss Carlotta?
Hi, Todd. You know, I want to tell you that when I was young, polio was the scourge of the time, and all we had to protect ourselves were garlic cloves around our necks. Had you ever heard of that?
No. They would seriously. They would put garlic cloves around. How did that help?
Well, it probably did, but we had nothing else.
Oh, I
see.
So
then, when Jonas Salk perfected a vaccine, people did get angry at him because we realized that times had advanced. And, you know, so when President Trump said last night, we can deal with it, what he meant was we've learned so much. But people get angry at him for saying we've learned so much. We have tools now. When Jonas Salk announced that he had a vaccine, people didn't get angry. They didn't talk about all the children that had died of polio. They looked forward to the millions or thousands or hundreds of children that wouldn't die in the future. So it's just so crazy. Am I making myself clear?
No, you are, Carlotta. And the reality is there are people in the media that do not want a cure. I mean, it's shocking, but this is their reality. For some reason, this is how they're getting their kicks. And they love to see people suffering. I've never seen anything like it, but this is the reality that we live in, unfortunately.
So the thing is that the way they're doing it now is don't look forward, look back. When we have good news, say we don't care about the good news. We want to focus on the people that died. We don't want to focus on the people that are going to live.
Good. It's a terrific point you bring up, Carlotta. Hey, look, I hate to do this, but we've got a skedaddle here. Thanks for calling in. Always appreciate hearing from you, Carlotta. 844-747-8868. We have a line open here. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Just say something here. The cancel culture mob, they just ruin everything. And it's one thing to be a liberal, but you don't have to be mean-spirited about it. And that brings me to this story from WREG, which got the story from WJW, which got the story from the Nexstar Media Wire. You know, nobody does original reporting anymore. So here's the headline. Eskimo Pie ice cream gets a new name months after calling the old one derogatory. So I'm a big, where's Grace Baker at? Grace Baker, are you a big ice cream person?
Oh, for sure. Especially chocolate.
Oh, I love the Eskimo pies, though.
And I've never had one.
It's very delicious. It's basically you have the frozen vanilla ice cream covered in the delicious crunchy chocolate.
So is it like a Klondike bar?
Pretty much. Are you still allowed to call it a Klondike bar?
I don't know. Can you?
I don't know. Does that offend lesbians? I don't know.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's Klondike. Oh, I'm sorry. That's one
word. I was like, are we on the same page here, Todd?
Whoops. I didn't. My apologies. Wow. No, the Klondike, the Eskimo, I guess they are the same. Now that I think about it, I suppose.
Well, you said the Eskimo pies are crunchy, so does it have like a crunch bar?
No, that would be the Nestle. That would be a Nestle crunch.
Yeah.
So it's just straight chocolate.
Oh.
And by straight, I mean nothing more than just I'm not judging. I'm just going to move on here. I'm just moving.
Just keep moving, Todd.
So anyway, you got the Eskimo pie. They have decided to rename the Eskimo pie because it was derogatory towards the Eskimo people. For me, it seems to me that would have been, you know, something to commend. You know, they're honoring the Eskimo people because the pie is frozen. They live in a frozen area, so hence the Eskimo pie. So now they're calling it something else. They're going to call it Eddie's Pie.
Ice cream brand named Eddie's?
Yeah, that's the one. That's Eddie. It's named after the company's founder, Joseph Eddie. Well, why not call it the Joseph Pie or something? I don't understand that. It makes no sense to me. So there you go. So no more Eskimo pies. They've gone bye-bye. And now they're going to call the Eskimo pie Eddie's pie for the sake of being politically correct and not offending the cancel culture. And we love the by the way, I just want to go on the record here, and can we please make a notation of the timestamp here? Todd Starnes, the host of this radio program, I love the Klondike people. I love Klondikes. So just want to put that out there. We've got nothing against, I'm just telling you. What about the midget gherkins? Are we still allowed to call them that, or do we have to call them like little pickles now?
Miniature?
No, but they're called midget gherkins. That's the actual name of the pickle. It's a very sweet pickle. I'm not a big fan.
I like dill pickles, personally.
Yeah. I'm a kosher kind of a guy. Even though I'm a Gentile, I love the kosher pickle. No. It's very, very tasty. So we've really gotten way, way, way off of the target here. You know what we're going to do? Let's play some police blotter. We got to talk about crime news across the country.
Keeping you updated on crimes sweeping across the Fruited Plain.
I ain't scared of no popo car, the popo car, the popo.
This is the Starnes ABB.
What in the name of all that is holy is happening in Northport, New York? The police blotter there reports a dozen raccoons had to be euthanized by police. The town was overrun by the raccoons. They were very ill and distempered. They literally had to. They had to put down a dozen raccoons. It's a terrible story from Northport, New York. All right, next story. A man dressed as the Incredible Hulk destroyed President Trump's Hollywood Walk of Fame star. The man, identified as James Otis, was literally dressed as the Incredible Hulk. He used a pickaxe to destroy the president's star. Next story. This is not from Alabama or Mississippi, but a woman who helped kill her boyfriend and married her own father has been sentenced to 40 years in prison.
Come on, man.
By the way, the lady is from Minnesota. Didn't see that one coming, did you, folks? She's just my sister. She's pretty. No, I'm serious here. her name is, it really doesn't matter, does it? No, it doesn't. That's just a disgusting story. Next. Oh, from Texas, a library worker stole $1.3 million in printer toner. Speaking of that, why don't we ever have toner in the building? That's what I don't get. You know why? Because they've got it down at the library. Disgusting. Next story. A man is recovering after he was knifed, or after he knifed kinfolk during an argument. They were arguing about almond milk. That's disgusting. I hate almond milk. Honestly, you give me almond milk, you deserve to go. Well, no, you don't deserve. Nobody deserves that, but almond milk, really? That guy has a Lee County Sheriff. Oh, that's in Florida. We had to have at least one piece of crime news from Florida. Almond milk? Interesting. All right, howdy do to Brian Newman over on the Facebook live stream. Got a couple of hundred of you folks hanging out with us today. Says, Todd, your show helps me get through my work day. I appreciate the genuine personality and the news. Very funny and entertaining. Brian, thank you very much. Appreciate those kind words and hope you guys are doing great wherever you might be today. So Michelle Obama, who they called back in the day Mother Obama. Mother Obama is very upset with President Trump. And I want to read to you, I just posted this tweet. At Todd Starnes, by the way, if you want to follow me on Twitter. Man, I get in so much. Can I just stop for a moment? I get in so much trouble on the social media platforms. I'm like the bad boy of social media, and I don't get it. So for the past 3 weeks, no, 3 days, I have had things blocked and banned on LinkedIn. Nobody gets in trouble on LinkedIn. I mean, come on. they were upset because I posted a photograph of Michael Moore before he went on the diet. Did he go on it? I don't know if he went on a diet or not, but, you know, he was kind of a well-rounded fellow there. So anyway, so LinkedIn, I'm in trouble on LinkedIn. Anyway, but Twitter, back to Twitter. I'm getting off on a tangent here. Michelle Obama says President Trump is stoking fears about black and brown Americans. Well, ma'am, let me counter that by saying you are stoking fears about white Americans. What is up with the race agitators? Anybody else getting tired of these people? Anybody else getting tired of these folks that get paid to divide all of us because of our race and our backgrounds and how much money we got in the bank account? Anybody else getting tired of that mess? To that point, let me tell you about Joe Biden. No, I'm not going to tell you about him wanting to, we're not going to talk about that. But I do want to talk about what Biden said. He said about grocery stores. Now, I actually know something about this because we have a family member in the immediate Stearns family who worked for a number of years stocking groceries at the grocery store. Can I give the name? I will not tell you the name of the supermarket, but it was not Kroger. And did a fine job. So Joe Biden says the reason why he's able to stay home and not have to go out is because there are black women stocking grocery store shelves across America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've been to a number of grocery stores in my time, and I don't recall black women, by and large, stocking grocery store shelves. Why would Joe Biden make that sort of comparison here? And I'm going to tell you why. Because I believe that Joe Biden's got a race problem. And the folks over at Fox News put together a history of Joe Biden's controversial racial comments. Here's how the Democrats operate, folks. And I hate to say this. You hate to say this kind of stuff about people. But the Democrats, when they're out there accusing you of something, they're guilty of it. It's projecting. For example, let's just say that the Democrats come up and they're doing, all right, let's just say tomorrow during the vice presidential debate, you've got Mike Pence on one side, the good and decent and honorable man. Then you've got the plexiglass. And then on the other side of the plexiglass, you've got Kamala Harris, who had a relationship with Willie Brown. Well, we're not going to get into that. You know what? She's a grown woman. She can cavort about with whoever she wants to cavort with. So let's just say that Kamala Harris makes an allegation against, I don't know, Mike Pence. And she says, I know that Mike Pence has a pet raccoon and loves to eat raccoon. That's Mike Pence. That's disgusting. Nobody eats raccoons. What kind of an American eats a raccoon? You can't vote for this man because he loves to cavort about with raccoons. That's what Kamala Harris would say. And then you turn it around and it turns out that, and the reason I say that is I'm watching a new Netflix series, by the way. It's a barbecue show. And they're actually barbecuing raccoons. One of the episodes, you got to barbecue a raccoon. Can I ask a question, Grace Baker? This is a legitimate question. Why are we talking about raccoons so much on today's program?
That lady earlier who called about raccoons just set the tone for the entire show.
The entire show.
She cast a spell on the show.
It's horrible.
It is spooky season.
All that to say, I think Joe Biden's a racist. And here's the reason why. There's a point to all of this. Turn your microphone off, Grace Baker. I wish you could see the staff. They're looking at me in disbelief. They're like, what have we signed up for today? What has happened? FoxNews.com, Biden's history of controversial racial comments. Biden landed in hot water over a video clip suggesting why people were able to quarantine during the China virus pandemic. They call it the coronavirus pandemic. It's the China virus. Come on, Fox News, get with it. What is Chris Wallace editing the website now? Biden says, geez, the reason I was able to stay sequestered in my home is because some black woman was able to stack the grocery shelf. Okay, well, anyway. In an interview with The Breakfast Club, he told Charlemagne the God that you ain't black if you're not voting for Joe Biden. He says, if you're voting for Trump, then you're not black. Pardon me, you ain't black. August 2019, he says that poor kids are just as bright as white kids. Wow. June 19th, he talked, this is terrible. June 19th, he was referring to, this is in the Trayvon Martin aftermath. He says, we've got to recognize that the kid wearing a hoodie may very well be the next poet laureate and not a gang banger. That's Joe Biden who said that. In 2019, Joe Biden touted his work with segregationist senators. Unbelievable, this guy. I was in a caucus with James O. Eastland. Eastland from Mississippi, by the way. Herman Talmadge. Firmly opposed to desegregation. In 2012, Vice President Biden told a crowd in Virginia that Mitt Romney would put y'all back in chains. They're going to put y'all back in chains. That's what Joe Biden said back in 2012. In 2007, he said that Barack Obama is the first main, this is a quote, by the way, is the first mainstream African-American who is articulate and bright and clean, end quote. That was Joe Biden back in 2007. Oh, and then he even got a crack in about the Indian American folks. By the way, Miss Grace, do you watch the Bravo TV?
Never.
Never. All right. I'm kind of I kind of get involved in some of the reality. They have the reality shows. They have Top Chef. But there was another one that followed Indian Americans that were kind of like the Kardashians, but they were Indian Americans in the Miami area.
What was that like?
It was entertaining.
See, I more watch the TLC shows if I'm going to watch like kooky reality TV.
Oh, I like that, like the Fixer Upper, like those people.
That's on HGTV, Todd. You're getting them confused.
Oh, what's TLC?
TLC's got like the Duggars, you know, that crew. All okay. The homeschooling families, yeah. Basically.
Grace, go stand in the corner. Just go stand in the corner.
Okay, just, Todd.
We don't talk about the Duggars on the program. So just want to point that out. Check the email, the memorandum, section 3-2, under families with more than 20 children. That's turn the microphone off. Folks, if it's not clear by now, we have lost control of the Todd Starnes radio program.
Come on, man.
Oh, so I've got to finish this. So in the Indian American, so in 2006, Joe Biden said, you can't go to a 7-Eleven. This is terrible. You can't go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. That is Joe Biden in 2006. And we have audio of all of this. You know what? We may try to play this tomorrow. We'll do a montage. And maybe we could do a game show. Is Joe Biden a racist? But beyond that, he also eulogized Robert Byrd, who was an actual member of the KKK. So what does that tell you about Joe Biden, folks? President Trump is trying to get people out of jail. He is trying to do something about prison reform. He's trying to do something about inner city schools. He's trying to do something about unemployment. And he has delivered on every single one of those issues for the minority communities. And then you have someone like Joe Biden coming out there and saying all this horrible stuff. And this tells me these comments are coming from his innards, the heart of his heart. And yet Michelle Obama wants to go out there and try to convince you that Donald Trump is some sort of a flaming racist. No, ma'am. We're not going to let you get away with it, Mrs. Obama. Shame on you, ma'am. You know better. We've got to take a break. 844-747-8868. Toll-free number here, folks. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Okay. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program, broadcasting from our flagship radio station, KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee. By the way, on Thursday, we're heading off to Kansas. I'll be speaking at a big Republican gathering. It's the Lincoln Dinner, I believe, Lincoln-Reagan Dinner. We're going to have a lot of fun there in Wichita, Kansas. Looking forward to meeting a lot of our listeners in that part of the country. So, look, we have been having a big problem here in this state, and I suspect you have been having the same problem in your state. Health departments, unelected agencies, government agencies that have now become de facto dictators. And that is certainly the case here in the Memphis area in Shelby County. And the Speaker of the Tennessee House of Representatives wants to do something about that. And I think this is a message that we all need to hear, which is why we have invited Speaker Cameron Sexton to join us today. And he is on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Mr. Speaker, good to have you with us today.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be with you.
So I'm curious, what is the problem you have, let's say, for example, with the Shelby County Health Department?
Well, it's exactly what you mentioned on the lead-in, and there's six independent health departments all across the state of Tennessee, and I think we have it backwards. We're allowing unelected bureaucrats to make decisions and have total autonomy outside of the elected officials, and they can dictate to the cities and to the counties anything that they want to during this pandemic. I think that's the backwards way to do it. I think they need to be advisory roles because they're unelected bureaucrats. They go to the advisory role, and you allow those mayors who are the elected officials in those areas, whether it's Mayor Strickland, Mayor Harris, or the mayors from Bartlett, Carville, Germantown, make those decisions for their community like they're elected to do.
I'm wondering, Mr. Speaker, if you are hearing from other states that are dealing with similar problems.
A few, not much, but I'm telling you, I've traveled all across the state of Tennessee, and I was down in Shelby County yesterday, and then I'm going to be coming back next week, and I've traveled to East Tennessee. It's a huge issue in that the majority of Tennesseans have expressed their frustration and displeasure with these health departments being able to close schools, close businesses, impose fines, do anything they wanted to without anybody having any oversight over them.
Were you surprised when the pandemic first started? A lot of people don't think about the health department, and all of a sudden they're becoming the most important people in the state.
Well, they are, especially in those six big counties. I mean, they pretty much can do anything they want to right now. In Knox County, they put more harsh restrictions on private schools than public schools. In Shelby County, you had the potential of where bars were open and playgrounds were closed. There's not a lot of communication going back and forth. And, for example, there's some mayors in Shelby County and mayors in Knox County who disagree with the decision, the direction they wanted to go, and all they could do is express it. And at the end of the day, the health department told them, this is what we're doing. You have no say.
Mr. Speaker, a couple of months ago, I was out. There's a very beautiful urban park in Memphis called Shelby Farms. And I usually take my afternoon walk after our national show ends. And they have park benches. You were allowed to sit on the park benches, but they also had swings. And they actually had crime scene tape. You were not allowed to sit on the swing. Apparently, you could catch the China virus by sitting in the swing but not in the park bench. It made absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Well, I mean, I think that's the frustrating part for Tennesseans and people of the community. I mean, it's very simple. I mean, we believe government's closest to the people, but that doesn't mean that government closest to the people are the people who are unelected. What that means is the government closest to the people are the mayors who are elected, and that's where we want those decisions to be made. They can be held accountable for it, and they're held accountable at the ballot box, and that's the way it should be.
I'm wondering, have you been hearing from any business owners, and if so, what kinds of business owners, and what are they telling you?
Yeah, business owners, they're very frustrated in these areas because they feel like they're at a competitive disadvantage, especially if you're like Shelby County, where people can go across the border and do things. We saw that back earlier with hair salons. I heard that yesterday when I was down there. So, yeah, I mean, it's adversely affecting businesses inside those communities because they can't compete with similar businesses outside their area that are open for business.
So what is the answer, and what solution do you think is going to be able to remedy all of this?
Well, they gain a lot of their authority in statute, and so we're going to go back in and limit that authority, and we're going to put the decision-making, the final say, with the local elected officials, meaning the mayors, and we're going to move the health departments in these types of situations to advisory roles only. And I think that's the simple fix. That's how we operate the state. I mean, does anybody really want the Department of Health telling the governor what they're doing and the governor having no say? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's a big no.
To be in the governor's hands.
Yeah, that's a big no from our vantage point.
And so if that's not good enough for the governor, it shouldn't be good enough for the local communities to do the same thing.
All right. Well, Mr. Speaker, we really appreciate you coming on the program, and congratulations for you, sir. That I think it's a terrific thing you're doing, and I know the people of Tennessee are going to be very thankful that you guys are cracking down on these health departments.
Well, thank you, and I hope you all have a great rest of the day. Thanks
all right.
for having me on.
Cameron Sexton, ladies and gentlemen, from the Tennessee State House. And that is a word of advice for all, you know, if you are in North Carolina or Oklahoma or Texas or Arkansas, this is something that you guys can do too. You got to get a handle on these local health departments. They are not dictators. They work for us. They do not make policy. They do not make law. And right now they are, but they should not be. Oh, I knew I was going to get in trouble. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. So just a few moments ago, received this email from Terry. Terry says, "Howdy, Todd. Longtime loyal listener here." Uh-oh, that's not good. "Please don't criticize us Canadians. Not all of us are nitwits." Oops. "We prayed for your president at our church last Sunday, and we'll continue to pray for his safety and are cheering him on to win for the White House." Whoops. Oops. Well, Terry, I didn't mean to like just say blanket, but what we were talking about, we were talking about something to do with Canada. Anyway, well, there you go. Terry, we still like the Canadians. So, God does hear the prayers of the Canadian people, too. He does. It's true. God doesn't know borders. I'm going to be quiet now. Folks, it's been a lot of fun. Good show today. ToddStearns.com. Check out the website. Lots of great stuff there. Hey, guess what? We're going to do this all over again tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.